Renowned experts discuss women's greatest lifetime triumphs and challenges right here, right now, with your hosts and CEO of EmpowHer.com, Michelle King Robeson, and top doc, Pamela Peek, MD. It's Her Radio, the naked truth about women.
Oh, Michelle, are there top ways to make sex better after menopause? Who wants to have sex after menopause?
That would be the question of the hour.
Well, you know, we need help parsing this out. I mean, come on. So we have Dr. Marty Klein, who's a licensed marriage and family therapist and certified sex therapist for over 30 years. Dr. Klein, help us.
Yeah. you're going to have to ask a better question than help us.
Oh my goodness.
Actually my patients say the exact same thing. Help me. My patients say I'm on the other side of sexual desire. What should I do? And you know, my first question about sexual desire, whether it's after menopause or before, is desire for what? You know, if a person has no desire for sex that's boring or physically painful or annoying, or if a person has very little desire for sex with a person who has not brushed their teeth in a week, we don't need to blame that on menopause, and we don't even have to call that a pathology. So I want to know desire for what. For a lot of women after menopause, they don't believe that the sex that's available to them is going to be very entertaining. And so why do it, and why even bother to have desire for it?
Well, I think that's for sure part of it. I think also that, you know, after menopause, we develop things like vaginal atrophy, which no one talks about, and it's, you know, sex is painful. I mean, there's all kinds of things that happen. Or you get divorced, and, you know, you're just kind of shut down. And I think sometimes we shut down anyway, even when we're with our partner, for whatever reason, and we don't have that libido like we used to. I mean, there are so many things. So, you know, let's take the first thing. Let's talk about vaginal atrophy, for example. How do women have that discussion, number one? Because most of us don't want to have that discussion with our partner.
Michelle, I'm going to have to disagree with what's number one. I mean, we can talk about vaginal atrophy. I'm happy to do that. It's on my list of things to talk about. But, you know, there's sex without the vagina. There's lots of things that people can do together, physically, erotically, sexually. And let's not limit ourselves to talking about penis-vagina intercourse. You know, let's talk about all the different ways people can connect physically, because of vaginal atrophy or because of other things, maybe a partner, is not going to be able to do intercourse either. We really need to expand our vocabulary of what sex is all about the older we get.
Well, Marty, you wrote the book Sexual Intelligence, What We Really Want from Sex and How to Get It. And you talk about this issue of sexual intelligence. So is this where you're going? Is this what this is all about? Could you define that and help us understand?
Well, sexual intelligence is the combination of accurate information and body awareness and emotional skills that people need to create the kinds of sexual experiences that they want. And as you said so perfectly just a few minutes ago, everybody is different, and everyone's body is different, and everyone's needs are different. So we can't just assume that what sexual pleasure or satisfaction looks like is going to be the same for everybody. For some people, it's going to involve a lot more hugging and kissing than for other people. For some people, it's going to involve a lot more eye contact and a lot more giggling and a lot more nibbling. And for other people, it's going to involve penis-vagina intercourse. So the first thing that any woman needs to do is to really be honest with herself about what exactly is it that I like, what is it that I want, and not think about is this the right thing to like or is this the right thing to want, but to really be honest with herself. I mean, some people really like lots of full-body naked hugging and kissing, and they don't want a lot of other stuff after that. So step one would be to be honest with yourself about what you want. And then step two, of course, would be to be able to communicate that with a partner. Well, when looking that partner right in the eye.
Well, when you bring that up, a lot of women, obviously we're talking about menopause, and, you know, what if you're pretty clear on what you want, but your partner has, you know, like erectile dysfunction, and it's really hard to kind of maybe open up that discussion because some guys are not very comfortable about that, and they feel very bad about the fact that, you know, they can't, as it were, perform like they used to, and maybe feel like it's very difficult to communicate. I mean, how do you open that discussion?
Well, the truth is, there's only three people in the entire world who are comfortable talking about sex. You and me and Michelle. We are the only three people in the world comfortable talking about sex. So everybody else is going to have whatever conversations they have when they're not comfortable. And I tell my patients, don't wait until you're comfortable. You'll be waiting, you know, for the rest of your life. Do not wait to have sexual conversations until you're comfortable talking about sex. Do it when you're not comfortable with it. And the truth is, intimate partners talk about uncomfortable things all the time. We talk about fear of death. We talk about, I'm concerned that the kids, you know, are not doing so well. We talk about lots of things. So I tell people, if you want to have a halfway decent sex life or a halfway decent erotic life, which is not quite the same thing, you're going to have to talk when you're not comfortable. And use the right words. Don't talk about woo-woos. Don't talk about, you know, don't talk about down there. Use the right words. Be a grown-up about it. And, you know, this whole myth, this whole idea that, you know, men just can't handle talking about these personal things, it's really not true.
Really?
It's really, I mean, there are some guys, you know, there's one guy in Philadelphia, I'm sure, you know, who doesn't want to talk about his penis. But, you know, for the most part, if a woman looks her partner in the eye and says, look, you know, I want to be more connected with you physically, and what we're doing isn't working, or we're not doing anything. I want to be more connected with you physically. We got to talk about what all is involved, and let's talk about what I want, let's talk about what you want, and let's talk about how we're going to work around whatever obstacles we happen to find.
Cool. Well, Michelle and I have a burning question. We need to know this answer. Why is
use some sort of cream on that burnt thing, Pam.
Okay, see now, that was so unnecessary. So this burning question is this. Why is every woman in America reading 50 Shades of Grey?
Well, you know, the most aggravating thing about that book is that it has sold more copies than all of my 7 books put together.
Oh, geez, here we go. Amen. I knew this was going to get personal. Go ahead.
But it's
absolutely
true.
But
why are people
why are
reading that book?
It?
People are reading that book because it's a way of engaging with sex without having to come right out and say that you're engaged with sex. I think that's one of the reasons. It's sort of a way of peeking through somebody else's bedroom window without having to admit that that's what you're really doing. And frankly, it's a lot easier to read about sex than it is to do it. You know, you can read about sex when you're tired. You can read about sex when you're not getting along with your partner. You can read about sex when you feel bloated. But having sex under those conditions is a lot more difficult. So I think it's a way for people to experience their own sexual feelings without having to do a whole lot about it.
Wow. Well,
fantasy.
It sold a heck of a lot of books. Oh, yeah, fantasy sells. There's absolutely no question about that. You know, the other thing, too, is a lot of women have a really bad body image. And I know that women out there are going to be learning so much more about how to handle that because we're talking to Dr. Marty Klein, the author of Sexual Intelligence, What We Really Want from Sex and How to Get It. And that website is www.sexed.org.
Thank you, Marty. Loved having
you.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. This is Michelle King Robeson with Dr. Pam Peek. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Radio MD. Stay well.